Good morning. Good morning, Vine Church. I hope that you had a fantastic week. And if you're worshiping with us for the first time, I hope that you had a fantastic week also, and that you decided to come here for worship this morning to join us. I pray that when you came into this space with everybody that's here, that you felt the love of God and that you felt warm and that you felt welcome in this place, because this is certainly a place where you indeed belong. And I'm glad that you felt that. When you came in, even if you're returning with us, when you came in, I hope that you got a worship guide, that you received the worship guide. And on the worship guide, there's a connection card on it. I want you all to help me tear that off. Well, if you have one, go ahead and tear that off. Tear that off with me. And this connection card is very special to us because it lets us know not only your name and how we can stay connected with you, but also if there are things that you're interested in, or if you want to learn how to get more connected here at Vine Church, or if there's things that you need, you want to be prayed, you want to be prayed for, you want to be prayed with, then this is your opportunity to have us to be able to do that for you and with you. So if you want to fill out your name and give us a good contact information, and if you're interested in any of our events, I'm excited about the events that we have coming up here at Vine Church. They're located on the back of your worship guide, so you can look for the events there. I want to lift up a few things, though, right before, as we're talking about our events. Our Easter offering. So in our mission to go out and to plant churches, because we're a church planting church, and we are seeking to redeem older church buildings who have probably have gone disconnected from their missions field or their the people who they have influence over. And so in our efforts to do that, it's very difficult. I'm not sure if you have experience, but it's very difficult to be able to transform these buildings to make the worship space a good space to worship in. You know, people, they may have been hurt by, you know, the look or feel of a traditional church. And so we're seeking to kind of own that back and say, hey, we want to give you a good space to worship in, just to feel comfortable and to feel loved and welcomed. And one of the things that we do that we're going to be able to purchase new windows here at the Dung Loring campus. Yay. and then also one of the other ways, if you've been over to our Graham Road campus, we're looking to do some updating with the acoustic sound treatment, because we, you know, have some reverb and some sounds that's bouncing off everywhere. And look, we just want a comfortable space to listen to some good music and love on God, right? And so this is going to be a way for you to help us do that. And so we're so excited about our Easter offering as we're seeking to just continue to connect with people in a very special way and to just to bear good fruit. Also, our Easter extravaganza. Yeah. Our Easter extravaganza is going to be on Saturday, April 20th. And so I hope you're excited about it. If you have little ones, look, we want you to bring them. We want them to come out and have a good time and connect with them. We're so excited to engage them in an Easter egg hunt and just have a whole lot of fun. And we need a lot of help to be able to do that because it takes a lot of manpower. And so if you're interested in this is something that you think is really interesting and you want to help us connect and be able to you know, grow with one another and fellowship, this is a good opportunity for you to be able to do that. And so if you're interested, there are some Easter eggs over here. They need to be filled up with little candies that's going to be useful for the little ones to take back home, put in their Easter baskets. Yay, got some candy. And so we want you to be able to fill those Easter eggs up. There are some instructions too and some sign-up sheets if there's a particular area you want to serve in there. There's also going to be a meeting for our volunteers on April 7th, so you have an opportunity to get some more information there. Then also this month, this Monday. Woohoo! We're going to learn about baptism. So it's our baptism class this Monday at 7 o'clock, April 1st. That's April Fool's Day. And so if you've ever asked the question, hey, what is baptism? What happens when I'm baptized? Do I really have to get baptized? Is it a requirement? You know, who has to get baptized? What happens? If those questions are like running through your head, we want to be able to answer some of those questions because we want people to know the reason why you should get baptized. We want you to know the importance and the significance of being baptized and what that means for your life, what that means for your family, and what that means for other people in the world as we're seeking to transform the world. So this is a great class if you are seeking or if you want to know more information about being baptized or want to be baptized, then this is the place you want to come tomorrow at 7 p.m. at 7 p.m. Also, there's some other really great opportunities that I pray that if you're interested in, you go ahead and check that on your connection card and then turn it in. And then we're going to connect with you throughout the week to figure out how you want to be a part of it. All right? Excellent. Well, amen. Well, look, I'm excited about this series that we've been in. It's really been a dynamic series. It's called Discovering Your Roots. And so, you know, there are times in our lives where we just become spiritually disconnected. We get really occupied in life, and sometimes we might forget to hone in on our spiritual disciplines to, practice devotion or to pray or to meditate. We find ourselves in the midst of our routines of being distracted by so many things. And sometimes that causes us to be unrooted. We're not planted. We're not grounded in a way. And so this sermon series helps us to remind ourselves that it is so important in our lives, no matter what your struggle is, to be rooted in something that is meaningful. And for us, being rooted means being rooted in Christ, so that as we get good roots and as we're grounded and as we're planted, we are sure that as we grow and as we produce branches and could be connected to the branch, that we will have and bear good fruit. That people in the world will be able to just pick off of our tree and say, ooh, this is good fruit here. And they benefit from our good fruit as we're seeking to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. And so spiritually rooted, spiritually grounded. And we've been talking about what it means to be, a rooted church, a rooted person in our spiritual lives as a church, as we do ministry and our missionary or missional efforts. What it means to be relevant, what it means to live a life that produces fruit. And so today is interesting because we get to talk about a heavy topic, but a very meaningful topic to who we are as believers, or if you don't particularly profess yourself as a Christian, something that may interest you as far as who we are as human beings and why the word redemption might be important to you. You've never asked the question before. And so redemption is the word that we're going to focus on today. I mean, it's going to kind of remind us what it truly means to be redeemed. And Kids Jam saying, my Redeemer lives. But we get an opportunity to talk about what that actually means, what it feels like. In your worship guide, that you have some notes also. And in those notes, the Spirit moves in really dynamic ways. And so there are two questions there that I invite you to ask, especially as it relates to the second half of the sermon. As we'll get there. But the Spirit moving, and I want to ask some different questions. Is that okay? All right. So, in getting ready for this Sunday and thinking about redemption, the question that just kept coming to my mind was, do you know what it's like to receive a second chance? You know what it's like to receive a second chance? Raise your hand if you ever had a second chance at something. Maybe it was somebody that you offended, and you know that you offended that person, or you had probably done wrong against that person, and you're like, man, I really would need a second chance with you. Let me get another opportunity just to make things right. Or maybe you didn't know, that you offended a person, and and then later on you learn, man, I really hurt that person. I really got to go and ask for forgiveness and just try to get a second chance or get a second shot at this thing. When you have that second chance, do you remember how you felt? You remember how you felt? If you're like me, you probably felt like you don't do things well. You don't build relationships well. Or you don't always say or do the right things that will keep you in good standing with a person or with people. You just feel like you're just defeated. You feel like you've made a terrible mistake. You feel like you just simply don't know why you did what you did. You kind of lost, or you may be confused. But most importantly, especially in my experience, when I have felt as though, I needed a second chance, the feeling that really disturbed me the most was I really felt like I didn't measure up. I felt like there was so much more that I could be. There was so much more that I could do to kind of redeem myself, to get a second chance. I felt like there was no way of me measuring up to being the person that God would call me to be. And I think about that. God, do I measure up to be the person that you called me to be? Am I always doing the right things and saying the right things, careful not to offend people? Thinking about all these ideas, And so that's what I thought about. I thought, you know, we have second chances in life, but how I felt about having a second chance is I really want to measure up. I really want to have an opportunity to redeem myself and to feel as though I have a second chance and opportunity. Funny story, you know, I remember what it was like, really needing a second chance or having an opportunity to show that I needed to be redeemed. If you've ever been to summer camp, you know, if there's a story about summer camp, it's either pretty bad or just a lot of fun. So I remember I went to summer camp and, you know, in the beginning of summer camp, the first day you're always given like a strengths test. You know, you're given a skills test and it's probably either kayaking, you know, what do you do really well? What do you just perform really great at? And so one thing that I really wanted to do but couldn't do was swim. And so I went to the pool. It wasn't a pool. It was a lake. It was at a cabin. And I went to this lake, and I was standing in line because I'm like, man, I'm going to get this thing. I'm going to get it. I'm going to learn how to swim. Or at least I'm going to attempt to. And so I show up, and, you know, I'm next in line, and the lifeguard calls us out, and he's like, all right, you're up. Swim. And I go out there and I'm running and I jump in the water and I'm about to drown. Number one, I knew that I couldn't swim, but I really wanted to swim. And that's not really the sad part. The sad part was that I really felt like I wanted to measure up. That was my true feeling. I really wanted to measure up. I wanted to measure up because I knew that if the lifeguards identified that I couldn't swim, first off, they gave you a bracelet. You would either have a red bracelet that says you were an excellent swimmer, or you had an orange bracelet that said, stay away from the deep end. And so I knew that I wanted to measure up because I wanted to walk around like the other kids that had the really cool red bracelets and that could really swim. And I was ashamed because, you know, I'm walking around. Yeah, I got the orange bracelet, you know. I got the orange band. I'm not that good of a swimmer. And how I felt, I said, I don't measure up to those who have the red bracelet. Those who have what it takes to really go out there and swim because they had these cool blow-up inflatable things in the water and you would jump from a platform and you could, you know, be sprung into the air and shh. And I wanted to experience that fun. I wanted to know the thrill and the joy and the bliss of being in that moment. Or I could just be in the air and do all the things that the red bandit swimmers could do. There was a trampoline that I wanted to, that was far out in the distance, and you really had to be a great, competent swimmer. And I really wanted to be out there on the trampoline, jumping with all the other people who were really competent in life, who were competent at swimming. And I was still young, orange bandit. The thing that made me think about was I have to come back next time, and I'll finish the story, is that I got to come back next time, and I got to prove to these lifeguards that I truly can swim because I really want to enjoy the benefits of wearing the red band. I want to be able to experience and have fun with all the other people that are competent. And so that experience kind of made me think about the second chance that I got when I had the chance to redeem myself with swimming, and I'll get there. But here's where I'm going. I think about that story and then I think about my spiritual life. I think about places in my life where I truly feel like I have messed up or made a mistake or I really feel like I don't measure up. And I really just need a second chance to do better. You know, the truth is, sadly, we have shortcomings in our lives. We have places and areas in our lives where we simply don't measure up. We don't meet the mark. But the powerful thing about what we're going to learn today with redemption is that redemption prompts us for a second chance, another opportunity. It saves us. It gives us a new chance to redeem ourselves. The powerful thing that I love about the word redeem is that I immediately think about God and how God redeems us. I think about what are the ways that God shows us that God wants to give us a second chance because maybe we have distanced ourselves from God. Maybe we haven't been spiritually rooted and grounded in a way that will have us in good standing and on a firm foundation with God. Maybe I have shortcomings and maybe there are places with God where I just simply meet the mark. We're going to get in a part of scripture today that talks about a word called sin. And for some people, it's very scary, but it actually is very meaningful for how we live our lives and how there's redemption that's coupled with that word, sin. It's a very tough term, but it reminds us that we can be spiritually rooted, and that we can be grounded, and that we can be redeemed. And most importantly, we can measure up. So I want to be able to do that. So one of the ways that God gives us a second chance, or one of the ways that God reminds us that we can be redeemed, is that he actually redeems us. God actually redeems us. And I want to take you to a place in scripture where it kind of reveals that. And you have this in your bulletin. Why don't you follow along with me? It's Romans 3, 23 through 25. And it says this, and you know, this scripture will get a little choppy, but I promise to handle with care. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed." I want to just give a little bit of context with this scripture. So Paul, an apostle, a chief disciple, he is writing to a group of people in Rome called the Romans, who he really wanted to visit, who he had not had the chance to visit them or to establish a church in Rome. Number one, because there was a group of Jews who were kicked out of Rome. They were just disbanded from Rome. And they had to go and live in another place. Now, the people who were kicked out of Rome, they were Jews, but they were practicing Christianity. They were already followers of Christ. And so when they were disbanded, they were kicked out. They didn't have the opportunity to go to Rome. But later, over time, they eventually returned. They eventually returned back to Rome. They had the opportunity to go back to Rome, still as Jews and still as Christ followers or followers of Jesus. But what happened was, before they could, in the process of them being able to return to Rome, there were a group of Christians, more Orthodox or traditional Christians, who had been there, and they had been keeping their dietary laws. They were fasting, and they were really steady with the law. They had this really Orthodox and traditional way of practicing their faith, but they still proclaimed to follow Christ. And so they're saying, hey, if anybody wants to be Christian, then you still got to follow the dietary laws. You still got to, you know, meet this code. You still got to live up to these expectations. And yet these Gentile, these people who were disbanded and wanted to go back, are called these Gentile Christians. Upon their return, they were met with these Orthodox Christians, and then they're beginning to feud. They're beginning to feud about, well, no, we're kind of free, and we're free from the practice of these dietary laws and all these, you know, rituals. We don't have to practice them because we receive freedom and redemption with Christ. And I'm like, no, you have to follow these laws. You got to do this. And so eventually someone snitches, and they write Paul, the chief apostle, the chief disciple, and they tell Paul, they say, hey, you know, there's some stuff going on here in Rome between these Christians that are practicing, these Orthodox Jewish Christians and these Gentile Christians. They're feuding, and they're saying they got to do this and do that, and they're feuding. And he writes them, and he says, look, both of you have sinned. And we get here, and he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that both of you worship idols, both of you. Both of you are broken. You have brokenness that you live with. Both of you fall short of the glory of God. Both of you sometimes don't meet the mark. And unfortunately, both of you don't measure up in a way, especially when it comes to pleasing and worshiping God. And so he says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. But the beautiful thing comes here. It says that don't worry about falling short, because you're going to be justified. You're going to be declared righteous. You're going to be made righteous. You're going to be put in good standing with God. Because you fall short, there is redemption. There's a possibility, there's an opportunity for you to be redeemed. And so you're justified by God, but not just because, not just for any old reason, but because God gave us a gift. And because we fall short, God gives us a gift that's Christ. And so it's an interesting paradox. So you mean to tell me that, that when I sin and when I fall short, that instead of punishment, I receive a gift? How is that so? But God knew that because God loved his creation, he loved human beings, he loved people who were seeking to worship him, be more spiritually grounded and rooted, that he provided an opportunity for them to be mended back to God, to be reconciled to God. So he said, I'm going to justify you, but only by the gift of Christ that I'm giving you. How many of you, it's interesting, how many of y'all have gift cards? How many of y'all, right now? So here's the interesting thing, and you know, the internet will give you so many different answers on this number here, but in my research, this was my number. $14 billion in America of unused gift cards, of unused gifts, free gifts that were given to people to be used. Free gifts, $14 billion, not M million, billion dollars in America of unused gifts, these gift cards. The studies also show that most Americans will just hoard the gift cards. How many of y'all hoard gift cards? I still have about 4 gift cards that are unused. Unused gifts that had not been used, that had not been used in a way that would benefit me. And so here we have God that gives us this gift to be used for our benefit, to be used as a gift so that we could be in good standing. It goes on and says that God wants to regain our favor, propitiation. That's an interesting word, right? He wants to recover and to reconcile. He's using Jesus as an atonement or as a payment, as a sacrifice for all of the wrong and all the shortcomings that both of these groups and even us have done. We fall short. But I'm giving you a gift because you fall short and not punishment. And that's going to be Jesus. You know, it's interesting because, you know, there's a second way. There's a second way that God says, hey, I'm going to give you a second chance because I love you. First way is he redeems us. But then secondly, God gives us a standard of measure. Gives us a standard of measure. I want to take you there. So let's go ahead and read that second unit of scripture. It says, we're at Romans 3:26. It says, for this demonstration, I say of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, Romans is a tough book because it talks about some really tough topics, particularly the things that keep us separate from God. And it talks about this thing called sin. And here's how we're going to get to talking about the standard of measure, is that sin in this context is those things that keep us separate from God, those things that keep us distant from God. It's those moments and those things that we do or don't do in our lives that keeps us from asking God, God, take my will, my pride, my understanding of love, my understanding of, you know, what hope and patience and what all this stuff is. God, God, you take this and you show me how to truly use it. Because every time I try to use it, I just get it wrong and I fall short. But I need you to help me. I need you to give me something, give me a gift that will help me understand how to be able to use these things that you give me. So those things that keep us separate and distant from really being who God is calling us to be and doing the things that God is really calling us to do. And so God redeems us and then he gives us a standard of measure. He says, for this demonstration, so Paul is now saying, I'm going to prove to you that God gave you this gift. I am proving to you that this is the only gift that you can use to live a much better life, to be spiritually grounded, to be redeemed, to be recovered, to feel like you measure up. I'm going to give you Christ. And he says that he would be just, that there once was a time in order for us to be righteous or just, we were sacrificing animals. There were animals and you know, lambs, poor animals, sacrifice for our sins. And so God says, hey, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to give you a new way. I'm going to give you a new way of being able to be righteous, a new standard of measure. I'm going to put that standard of measure in Christ. You know, you don't have to no longer atone with these animals, but I'm already going to pay this cost for you. I'm going to buy you a gift card. I'm going to assume the cost of this gift for you. You just use it. You use it because it's beneficial for you. And so Jesus becomes just. God puts righteousness in Jesus, makes Jesus righteous, and then also makes him the justifier, as the scripture says, the one who measures justice in righteousness. I'm going to make Christ just and the justifier. You know, when I think about just and justifier and the standard of measure, the most powerful thing that sticks out, at least for me, is the word measurement. It's the word measurement and the standard of measure. And I want to help you just in this context, just think through the word measurement. As God redeems us and then gives us Christ as a new standard of measure. Check this out. So it says this. And this is through psychology.com. I encourage you, if you want to look for other definitions of measurements, please feel free. But up against this, I want you to see what scholars have said about the term measurement. So it says, measurement is perhaps one of the most fundamental concepts in science. Without the ability to measure, it would be difficult for scientists to conduct experiments or even form theories. Not only is measurement important in science or the chemical industry, but we see that measurement is important for farming, for engineering, for construction, for manufacturing, for commerce. And I'm sure that in your jobs or professions or even in your household, you find yourself measuring some things, right? Especially if you're a cook, you know, or if you bake. And then it says the word measurement comes from a Greek word called metron. Measurement, Greek translation, metron. And metron means limited proportion. Limited proportion. Limited proportion. Measurement is a technique in which properties of an object are determined by comparing them to a standard. It's a technique in which properties of an object are determined by comparing them to a standard. As I reflect in my life, especially at this point in time in my life where I was in undergrad, and I didn't really look to Christ as my standard of measure. You know, because I had graduated, you know, undergrad, and, you know, I watched my other friends who graduated with communications degrees, and, you know, they're on TVs as news anchors. I mean, they're on TV as news anchors, and, you know, they're doing a really great job. They're, you know, radio hosts, and I'm like, man, I'm watching them on Facebook and Twitter, and I'm like, you know, I wish I would have done that. Or what is it that I need to do to be more like them? And oftentimes we find ourselves using other people or business models or ideologies and different philosophies as our standard of living, as our standard of measure, as our standard of good. As we're seeking sometimes to measure up in life, we use all other things, but what the scripture reminds us, especially this definition, is to use Christ as our standard of measure. That every time we have shortcomings, every time that we have places in our lives where we fail and where we just miss the mark, that to know that we have grace, but that we have a gift. This gift of this standard of measure that helps us to measure up. That Christ will help us measure up in the way that God is calling us to. Those things in our lives that God is calling us to do, to be, and even to change. You know, I know measurement, especially in this context, in the standard of measure, you know, pretty well. I have a friend who I think is the absolute best friend. Let me just tell you, if you all have friends, you don't really have a friend. Because my friend is the best and most awesome friend that I know. I love this guy. He's so awesome. It's so awesome. Sometimes I look at my friend, I'm like, you know, he's got it going on. Like, I wish I could be the friend that he is to me. You know, he would see me, you know, coming when we were in seminary, he would see me, you know, walking across campus and he'd just run full force and just bear hug me and spin around. I'm like, days where I really didn't want to be bothered, days where I felt like I didn't measure up, or days where I just felt like I don't really want a friend. My friend always reminded me that he loved me, reminded me that no matter what you do or how you feel, that I'm going to be your friend. And so for me, he created a brand new standard of measure for what friendship is. And so that creates for me an opportunity to look at something and to see, I see areas in my life where I've not been a good friend to him. And so because I know that he's a really great friend to me, what's going to be my standard of measure to say, hey, I really want to be as best of a friend to you that you are to me? So sometimes we get there. We have places in our life where we just fall short, like me, and not being that good of a friend. In areas of our lives, we have to say, you know, hey, God, I really need forgiveness. I really need you to be able to show me, how is it that I may be redeemed? How is it that I can be redeemed with my friend and really show him that I love him too, and that I can be a good friend? So could you perhaps make me a better friend? And then God shows me. You know, one of the things that I love about the word redeem or redemption is that it reflects the work here at Vine Church. You know, I automatically think about what we do here at Vine Church and the mission and the vision here at Vine Church, especially as we're a church planting church. That congregations and communities that have probably ignored people in their area of influence, in places where they just forgot to do ministry and forgot to connect and love on people, Vine Church's mission is to say, hey, we recognize that there are people in the world who are not spiritually grounded and rooted. We know that there are people who are in need of being connected to the true vine so that their lives can bear fruit. And then the mission being going out and looking for those individuals who truly want to be connected to Christ in a way that their lives might bear fruit. And then we get the opportunity to, you know, refurbish buildings and to create a redeeming nature of what people thought church was or what people do in church. To show them the true vine. To show them that their lives can truly, truly, truly bear good fruit. That they can be grounded and rooted. I love this mission because this mission says that you belong here and we truly belong to the true vine because Christ desires for us to bear fruit. So that we may be able to transform this world in a redeeming way. And so may it be. Amen. God, we thank you for the power of your love. We thank you for the power of redemption. That it saves us from our shortcomings. That it saves us from places where we fall short. That we have the opportunity to be redeemed by you. And not only be redeemed, God, but we're given a new standard of measure. That once we didn't measure up, but now we're given a new way to be measured. And that's with Jesus. So help us in measuring up, God, with the person of Christ. Amen.